100 Word Stories.
Good morning, everyone. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast at One A Day Until the Day I Die.com. Got to put in that .com there. Don't want you going to .gov. You might think it's that healthcare thing. We've got a whole bunch of stories this week on the weekly challenge. It's a pick two, where I post up a whole list of topics that you sent in, and you pick two and write stories. And it's not much different than all the other weekly challenges, except you pick two, and it uses more of your topics than normal. I don't see what's so special about it. Let's get going here with John Musico. Yes, John Musico. Thought it would be someone. Here's John Musico with his story. I hope you enjoy it. I always say I hope you enjoy it, but the truth is, I know you'll enjoy it. It's that whole, you know, confidence thing. You should build your confidence up. In fact, we'll just take a moment, get your confidence going, and okay, that's about it.
Hello, this is John Musico. Today's drabble, called Yin and Yang's Main Lesson, proposes that people should be not all that you can be. Not a very American attitude, and so this drabble remains an unfinished piece of work. Geometry demonstrates yin-yang theory quite nicely. Starting with the plane triangle, add a side, now quadrangle. Continue on this path of gain, changing shapes upon the plane. Pentagon, septagon, octagon, more. To the square we gain now four. On this path what we have found is that the shape becomes quite round. A shape devoid of sides at all, the upper limit, then we fall. That's the crux that is profound, that zeros most, it goes around. So when to gain becomes obsession, remember yin and yang's main lesson, that the nature of procession brings us only to regression.
Thank you, John Musico. That was deep, man. Deep. Feel like we've gotten a geometry lesson here, but also a philosophy lesson. Will you live your life by that? I know I will. I will certainly live my life by that when I introduce the rhombusly awesome Jeffrey, who's coming up next.
Hello, Jeffrey Fisher here. It's week 415 and time for another pick two. So I have a couple of stories and I've picked, well, at least two for each story. So I guess that's a pick four, which this isn't. So I'm hopelessly confused now. Maybe one of the reasons I'm hopelessly confused is that it's the end of March as I record this and it's snowing outside. Not happy about that. Should not be snowing outside at the end of March. But there it is. I was going to use I'm sorry as one of the pick two words, but then I remembered that Lawrence once told me never to apologize for anything. So I'm sorry. No, wait, I'm not sorry, because that would be an apology. At any rate, I'm not using I'm sorry. So there. However, what I can tell you is my first story is called The Well. What's that, girl? Tim has fallen into the well? Again? We followed the barking dog outside. How can we reach him in time? My sister asked. I looked at the empty road in front of us. Anything but taxis, I reckon. We ain't going to see one for a spell. We jumped on bicycles as Lassie ran beside us. When we reached the well on Farmer Simpson's property, we raced to it. No Timmy. We searched one well after another. When we finally found the right one, Timmy was long dead. My sister blamed Lassie, but I pointed out that the dog was always slow and knew only one bark. Don't blame her. How could she figure out the difference between them whales? My second story is called Yin and Yang. Whenever Randy has a difficult decision ahead, he makes sure that all points of view are represented. He reaches into his sock drawer and puts on his morally conservative socks. They're the ones that tell him to take things slowly. The change for the sake of change is never good. But Randy is no reactionary. When bold thinking is needed, he's your man. To represent that side of him, he dons a pair of fishnet stockings, covering up the socks. When he gets the crap beaten out of him, he protests in vain that his assailants aren't looking at all sides of the issue, and besides, his shoelaces are more moderate. But they never listen. Well, that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
Thank you, Jeffrey. But most importantly, thank you for reminding me never to say you're sorry. Just don't say you're sorry. Do what you think is right, and you never have to apologize for it. It's also important that if you're about to do something that you need to say I'm sorry for, should you really be doing it? Think about it. And if it's for the benefit of that other person, whether you're right or wrong, just do it. Do it. Do what's right, and don't apologize for it. If it's perceived wrong, you know what? Screw them. Just do it. Although there's another thing that you ought to do, and that is, if you do something and then you say, "Now, don't get mad," really, should you be doing that? Or are you trying to get that person angry? Don't do the thing that gets the other person pissed off in the first place. Okay, this is all bad advice. My advice to you is to write 100-word stories like Richard does. There. I'm sorry. Don't get mad.
Good morning. So this week it was a take two, and I've taken several. First story is George's story, part 52, and it's called Stumped. "You complete and utter git," exclaimed Emily, before pulling her shoe off and throwing it at George. Her aim could have been somewhat better, and George deftly caught the missile as it flew towards him. He smiled apologetically. "I knew being on the village cricket team would pay off. Look, Emily, I'm sorry, but you did deserve it." Emily appeared not to have heard. She was looking at him strangely. George fiddled with her shoelaces, uncomfortable under the stare. "Why are you looking at me like that?" "George, you've started remembering. You remembered being in the village cricket team." And this one's called Main Course. One of the great things about travelling the world is seeing the strange things that crop up on restaurant menus. I've eaten insects in Thailand, snake in Bali, and guinea pig in Peru. All very interesting, but nowhere near as interesting as the mangled translations that get listed as dish of the day. Like the curry children that I discovered in North Africa, which turned out to be goat. This one had me baffled. Donkey salad. What on earth could that be? My travelling companion wasn't tempted. "I'll have the fish," she said. But I was feeling adventurous. "Donkey salad with extra donkey, please." Here's a tip. Sometimes those weird things on the menu are exactly what they appear to be. And my last story is called The Party. Everything was going so well until the party. The campaign posters were out, people were flocking to see us, and the Sermon on the Mount CDs were selling like hotcakes. Then we got the invitation to the wedding, and the boss stepped in when the caterers let everyone down. Sure, the whole water into wine thing was great publicity, but when the boss had had a few too many and started doing the lambada on the dance floor with the bride, something had to be done. But what do you do with the drunken Jesus? Actually, I think Judas will make a great messiah, and I don't think anyone's noticed the switch. And that's my stories for this week. Hope to speak to you next week. Goodbye.
Thank you, Richard. You paint a fine picture there. You use oils and watercolors, mustard and ketchup, and perhaps some relish. What else do we have? Oh, Lizzie? All right. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce Lizzie, and then you're going to listen to what she's got. It's what we've done for several years now, I think. Anyway, here's Lizzie's story. Take it away, Lizzie. What else can I say? I've been doing this for, what, 6-7 years on the Weekly Challenge? How much more can I say? Go stuff a sausage full of this story and take a bite. You know, there's only so much you can say. You have to flip it around. No wonder why Casey Kasem went insane. Well, also the fact that he's old and senile. But what, is this thing still on?
Hello, everyone. The topic for this week was Choose Two, and we had quite an interesting list of topics to choose from. And, of course, I didn't choose two. So, here goes the story. That dreadful day at the Kipling Studio Group, composed of an eclectic group of people, was rife with unexpected events, and Timmy, the host, was beside himself. The Egyptologist blabbered something about fish, a net, and stockings, and everyone understood he was wearing fishnet stockings. A drunken Jesus showed up, claiming to be able to find the alien sparrows. Suddenly, someone hit the switch. Total darkness. As the light got back on, Timmy's face bore suspicious shades of blue, while his morally conservative socks were wrapped around his neck. Well, why not? Added the ventriloquist. This is better than cable. This was my story for this week. Kind of silly, but it was fun writing it. Drop by my blog at lizzygoodcough.blogspot.com and talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lizzie. I love it when people have fun writing these, which I hope you have fun writing these, that it's not one of those, oh, God, I have to do it again. No, I want this to be like, fun, woo, I wonder what's coming next. And, well, you already know what's coming next. I post the list of the topics. Hopefully you don't dread them too much. Dread is not what I want people to feel, unless, you know, it's Halloween or Monday. I've got one day to work next week, Monday. I can't skip half of it. The Astros are playing a 1 p.m. game. I love going to 1 p.m. games. I already went to opening day, but 1 p.m. games, man. And they're just getting their butts handed to them. You know, they beat the Yankees twice, and then it's just downhill. We'll see what happens today. They've got their supposed ace pitching today. But, you know, it's a suck-aster. They're just whatever. They got to beat up Jeter twice. But thank you, Lizzie. I'm glad you had fun with that. And I hope everyone has fun with this. I hope everyone has fun with this, what Serendipity came up with this week. Let's see what Serendipity chose. You want to, well, not see, listen. If you see, you're reading the site and you're not listening. Well, you could be listening. You'd be doing both. See and hear and taste.
We'll never forget the day Jimmy was sliced in two. We told him not to play with chainsaws, but would he listen? Miraculously, he avoided all his major organs. And it's amazing what surgeons can do these days. Soon he was up and about, doing almost as well as before the accident. Of course, some things were difficult, but Jimmy was an optimist, not letting a little thing, like being half the man he once was, get in the way of his cheerful disposition. Look on the bright side, he'd say. This way, who cares if I'm wearing odd socks?
Thank you, Serendipity. I'm not wearing odd socks. I'm not wearing socks at all. Nope, no socks here. Toes! How many of you aren't wearing socks right now? Can you see your toes? Let's count them together, shall we? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Wasn't that fun? We should count our toes again sometime. Maybe I'll count your toes, and you'll count mine. Until then, let's listen to Tom. I don't know if he has updates or not, but I don't listen for the updates. I listen for the music of his soul.
Hello, my people. Tom here, and I've got updates. Two significant moves. Zachman passes Thomas to regain the fifth place with 252 stories. And Jeffrey Fisher enters the top 10 with 160 stories, a feat accomplished by a mere 30 authors. Z. Ellison, Andrew, Rihanna, Tommy, Beck, B. Gavilan, Kolak, Lisa, Caleb, Liana, Carrie, your humble scribe, Houston, Ted, Guy David, DJ, Terry, Anima, Steve, Justin, Phil, Jeff, TJ, Zachman, Thomas, and Singh. Congratulations. You are an Uber monkey. I've got two stories tonight. The first, A Great Awakening. The penguin tramped through the snow. What are those? Asked Frank. Morally conservative socks. Frank shook his head. I need them for my chosen career path. Oh, really? Mocked Frank. And that is Penguin Chaplain. You're making that up. Nope. Sam, penguins don't believe in God. We believe in herring. Len does. Len is an idiot. Penguin Chaplain is a totally fictitious job. Oh, ye of little faith. Well, I hope you have more than faith, because you're morally conservative. Socks are frozen to that rock. We shall gather at the river. Good luck with that, returned Frank. And the second story, a continuation of a well-defined relationship, part 43. The senator sat on the steps of the church. His Brooks Brother pants hiked up to his ankles. What are those? Asked Bannister. Morally conservative. Socks. How can foundation wear be morally or conservative? It's like Mormon magical underwear, or socialists wearing red ties. The context of the content is dictated by the juxtaposition of uninflected images. Take the Department of Redundancy Department. A more enlightened populace would demand the removal of all those fictitious jobs, but we, the Senate, frame the context. With sky blue argyle socks? Indeed. Sparky appeared. Love your socks. That must be demoralizing, noted Bannister. And there you have it.
Thank you, Tom. Although I'm a little worried about Zachman. I don't see a story from him. But then again, last week, Singh's story dropped into my trash folder, and I had to whitelist him. I may have to just start whitelisting everyone. I'm sifting through the trash, and I'm looking through the trash in Gmail. I'm not sure why I'm looking through the trash. Did I throw something out that was important? But anyway, thank you, Tom. And hopefully, Zachman realizes he missed it and jumps back in. Jump in the line. Well, we'll find out. I worry a lot when people don't send one in. I worry about them, personally. Not about the stories, mind you, or the monkeys or streaks or any of that. I worry for them. Are they okay? Are they doing all right? I check the Facebooks. I check the Google Pluses. I check the Twitters. I look at the webcam feed of their home Wait. I shouldn't have said that. Instead, I'm going to say, let's find out what Muncie is calling us this month. Muncie, Muncie, Muncie! Say that three times. Wait, I just did. Oh, here he is. Just whatever.
Ba ba da ba 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 da ba ba da ba 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 ba.
Greetings, roses. Munzee here to kiss you on a grave. Just awful. Let's let that joke slide by, shall we? And get on with some exciting Pick 2 action. Changing of the Guard by Christopher Monroe. The newly elected MPs, some in odd socks, others in fishnets, still others in more morally conservative socks, made their way into the Capitol, heads held high. And why not? They'd been elected to enact their version of the future, and that's exactly what they intended to do, bringing with them a smorgasbord of values, principles, and ideals. Opportunity for all, an end to the abuses of the past, a nation where all could prosper. And friendship, which is magic. It was my little party's first time forming a government, but they were determined that it wouldn't be their last. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at Munzee Munzee. This has been my pick, well, 10, technically, and I hope you've enjoyed it, roses. I'll be back next week with more stories, more adventure, and more graves upon which to kiss. And until then, you shall remain my power, my pleasure, my pain.
That was beautiful, man. That was sealed with a kiss by a rose on it. I should not play off of that, because then you'll expect me to do multiple layers of sound.
Multiple layers of sound.
Wasn't that fun? Maybe next week we can all send in a separate recording of counting our toes. If you go to 11, you're weird. But send a picture. Who's next? Spate? Okay. I had a little accident in my inbox here. This is why I save the stories as they come in and then put them in the WordPress site, because I can't see his email. So his email must have come in, unless he sent some new Google Mail feature to retract it. Then, well, oops, I shouldn't be posting, but I'm not going to say I'm sorry. Don't get mad. Nope, you can get mad if you want to. I'm not going to infuriate you deliberately. Instead, I'm going to do what I think is right. Here's Spate. And I know he wouldn't have said, oh, I don't want you to play this. I'm just going to say, no, it's just me screwing up. Which folder is it in anyway? Oh, it's over here. Never mind.
Hey, it's me, Spate. With nothing up my sleeve except two prompts, ladies and gentlemen, I present to you The Magic Show. His trick was simple. Place any pretty, blonde, unassuming, and preferably dull-witted assistant into the wooden box, just head and feet protruding on either end. Cut on center with a chainsaw. The assistant desperately shrieks before going disturbingly silent. He slowly separates the box, revealing that she has indeed been sliced in two. The audience gasps and screams as they stare in horror at the bloody severed entrails. But then the assistant shouts out, "It's an illusion! I'm okay!" The curtains close to a standing ovation. Backstage, He smiles, knowing that he is more a ventriloquist than a magician.
Well, there goes my breakfast. Thank you, Spate. Actually, my breakfast is coffee. It's just the French vanilla one. Creamy French vanilla from the Green Mountains, which I will never buy again. I got, like, the Green Mountain sampler or something. And it's great. All of them suck. I'm sure that Keurig will go like, "Oh, you're never sponsor you." I don't want your sponsorship. I drink the Kona coffee anyway. Whatever it is. I don't know who roasts it. I've got a bookmark to it. I just go, "Ooh, okay, send me more." Well, I'm starting to run out at work. But then I've got three more bags of other Hawaiian coffees from the sampler that I'm going to have. So it's okay. What? Another? Oh, God. More stories? I'm not done yet. Can't go out. Well, the laundry already got done. Well, except for the socks. So what I'm going to do is, who's next? Oh, Tura. Okay, here comes Tura with Tura. Just listen.
In the frozen meats aisle, I picked up a hard, vacuum-packed block and slowly deciphered the Japanese characters. 2 dozen sparrows. A challenge. I rubbed my "why not" medallion for luck. Back in my tiny apartment, I hesitated, then cut the package open and separated the tiny corpses. They were whole. Half an hour later, I had a small pile of sparrow breasts and a larger pile of other parts. With enough deep frying, I thought anything is edible. Then I pushed the larger pile into the bin. 4 dozen sparrow breasts make a nourishing bowl of stew for one.
Thank you, Tura. That'll keep us wondering for quite a while. Although if I look in my freezer, I'm sure there's plenty of sparrow parts. Beaks. Now, I know I've got some crab cakes in there that I really ought to make so that I can genuinely get sick to my stomach for Monday. I went to see Winter Soldier Saturday morning. And I told myself I'm going to have the hot dogs instead of the popcorn. So I had the popcorn. Oh, man, last night, could not sleep. I need to stop having movie theater popcorn. I shouldn't have anything at the movie theater. Oh, and another thing, I got that giant gut buster of the Diet Coke. Free refills. Oh, yeah, my liver's confused now. One thing I'm not confused about, though, next is Cliff, who, okay, he will confuse me. Everyone confuses me sometimes, really? But maybe that ought to be the topic, wouldn't we? Just be confusing. Just go all, just random. Random words thrown out. Not a story at all. Just whatever. Here's Cliff.
When I heard Larry, the lab technician, cursing, I came running. He told me that some of the patients were responding to the placebo as if it were the actual drug. I pulled up the supposedly private and confidential files of our paid volunteers and quickly found the problem. Writers. Damn it. Writers were practically fake people and responded differently. As such, they were banned. But I could tell from the occupations listed. Sunset designer. Female body inspector. Earthworm rancher. Galactic defender. And worst of all, congressional ethics enforcer. Not a real job amongst them. The test was completely ruined. And here's another story with randomly chosen words from the list for this week. They were known as the LWF, and they were the strangest criminal organization Steele had ever encountered. They targeted seemingly random people. Age, race, pro-life, pro-war, pro-wrestling. The LWF hit them all. It was armed robbery with a bizarre twist. Each victim was relieved of valuables, but also of one sock. When Steele caught up with them, the cash was found, but the socks were gone. The criminals turned out to be political activists who set the socks free. They were the liberators of weary footwear. Steele just called them the morons responsible for the collapse of the sock market. And that's all I've got. Thanks, and talk to you next week. Bye.
Thank you, Cliff. Your honesty is appreciated, as well as your creativity and your massive pectoral muscles. So I'm doing these differently each week. This time I'm listening to the stories in iTunes, recording these bits in Audacity with the typewriter behind them, and I've got about a minute 40 of the typewriter, so that limits my rambling, so I don't go, it's all their fault, you suck and you smell. No, none of that. Glad this Hollywood person is dead. What was the name of that jerk who crashed his car? I don't know, the need for killing himself or whatever. Jerk. Whatever. And when he died, all the people in his car customization shop lost their jobs. Good going there, dude. Probably not taking care of those families. Whatever. Hey, we are. Yay! What else? Oh, then I put these in. I'm going to try putting these in a GarageBand again, and I'm going to do the echo effect, and you're hearing it right now. So, up next, Norval Joe. So, Norval Joe, Philip Norval Joe Carroll, rock us to sleep. I think there's something wrong there. There was supposed to be a story there, right? Anyway, the text of his story is up on the feed. And I've just sent him an email saying, all I got was the music. So this is what happens when you send it Saturday night. You get tired. It's like, oh, man. Oh, crap. I feel like Batman. And then, So go ahead and send the story in. I'll put it up on the feed later, and hopefully it didn't wind up in the trash. How about we just thank you, Norval Joe, for that surreal moment. That was his story for Pick Zero. Oh, man, I've had those kind of days, too. Pretty much every week I do this, something goes wrong. And good. Glad we got that out of the way. How about I just shut up and say, listen to sing, or I'll chew your ears off.
Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel in progress by Chris Mooney Singh, Chapter 30. In this installment, Margot has to contend with the dilemmas and dangers of the snake season that follows the monsoons. The village priest had set his sights on Margot, the foreign madam.
Her sweeper urchin also was growing up with a smart mouth, plus bringing that filthy yapper into the temple. He was ready to blame and cite dogmas of caste. Let ragpickers stick to sweeping up the compounds, then stay away on the refuse edge of the village with those dirty biters and not defile pure houses. But this madam was an education do-gooder, fiddling with the bottom rung of the ladder that shouldn't be climbed. He flapped like a fighting bantam scratching in the kingdom of Cockalorum. The sweatshop season brought a year-long glut of swamp frogs into homes. Rats, mice, and voles found cozy huts, and next, the slither realm. Trinket snakes, keelbacks, vipers, cobras hatched from anthills, rocky crevices like phrases growing into the narrative of waterlogged days and barefoot paddy fields. Ram, the neighbour, was bitten. He foamed and choked, paralysed, cold by the time they brought him back on a buffalo dray. Relatives and the villagers prayed and wailed. The pujari said the prayers around a white sheet body. Then the procession chanted, Ram Nam Satyaha, Ram Nam Satyaha, to the pyre. At the cremation, beside Kol Koffi Ganga, Margot joined the women in funeral whites, but did not have the right Punjabi suit. They started to spit with superstitious venom. She has no respect. Why is she here? Just why? Gandhi Nazar, Gandhi Nazar, a gossip said. The dirty eye, her eyes are evil slits. Beware your children, she's stealing them from us, all because her own man has gone off, they surmised. Man envy was the cause, and lack of having children of her own. They prattled on. The temple priest just gloated. Luckily, the widow did not blame her. Kamal was known for quiet piety, submerging herself inside her husband loss, as Margot sat alone with a snoring puppy, wondering how or if she would survive here. She remembered the French River Oise, those hog-tied, gasping moments thrown in witch-float water. She didn't understand. A past-life flashback? Why was she so feared? She only sought to teach and had left behind her own two darling daughters. It was sacrifice, she told herself, she'd come to give to needy others. Was this delusion or misplaced missionary ego? It was then she saw the shadow on the floor. Yudi growled and barked. She held him tight upon the bed. He barked again. She grabbed her torch from under the pillow, searchlighting the hopping frogs. Then a long shape struck. It was a rat snake, brown with a diamond back. Atul had shown her one on the way to school. They were not venomous, but if frogs or rodents came, slitherers would find the holes and gaps in these reed walls. She ranged her sneaky light around the floor. Sure enough, another, and still more nosed from a fertilizer bag. Someone had thrown a snake sack into her hut. At first she felt a surge of wild horror constrict her breathing. The frog parlor waited for macabre partners till each came forward, making a sea of writhing snakes and victims, marooning Margot on the boat of her bed, not daring to move, fearing that they would smell her fear. She closed her eyes to breathe and focus. Whether projection or a vision, she saw Lord Shiva, eyes half closed, in meditative focus. Mahadeva wearing a risen cobra around his neck. Vasuki, the churning rod, stirrer of poisons from the primordial sea of milk the world floats upon. All now drunk down by Mahadeva, trapped in his throat by Parvati's swift hands, turning it blue, the blue-necked one, Nilakanta Shiva, raising his palm in benediction. Time to leave. Five snakes were busy gorging. Grabbing Yudi, she stepped between, turned the knob, and fled. The first big glob of rain hit her forehead, and without any warning the downpour drilled the earth. Kamal Devi's hut was her only option, the neighbour's widow. She ran to knock for shelter. Kamal's eyes were red, but she let Margot in, even with the barking yellow pup. She held an infant girl, had lost her husband, but still, she was kind, unlike the finger pointers. Margot explained the snake sack in her hut. Kamal Devi, named for a lotus goddess, just nodded, knowing the cruelty of the present that rips out love. Yet here she had a sister. Widowland is the whiter Shadowlands. Entering young, she knew that she would have to wear for life this simple snowy sari, the wrapping of death and inauspiciousness. At best, she'd have shaved-headed auntie status, expected to stay within the family compound under brother-in-law's predatory eye. Her child, her passport, albeit an infant girl. She would never marry again or inherit any portion of shared family lands. Her lack of luck was good luck for her brother. They would let her stay as an extra pair of hands, and she knew, of course, she would be second wife. Margot breathed. Kamal made chai. The night of snakes would slither away. Two troubled women beneath gruel sky, sharing memories on instant replay. Kamal Devi with a child, Margot adrift, still under threat. Clearly someone else was riled. Was the snake a trick, a karmic debt? Her village time was going sour. Parents would hold back each school child. Some shift in the balance of power had made the snakes of tongues turn wild. They were pariahs, three together. Was this first chapter or epilogue, with shared loss in rain, god, weather, for a Caucasian, an Indian, and a yellow dog? You've been listening to Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel in progress by Chris Mooney Singh. For more of my work, check out my website at chrismooneysingh.com or follow the link in the program notes. See you next week.
Last week, somehow, he got caught in the trash file, and then he sent me a follow-up note saying, hey, did you get this? And I replied, even though I was in bed, reading. You know, I heard the ding. Guess I should probably turn on vibrate mode when I'm trying to sleep. Although I was reading. I wasn't trying to sleep. Although I was reading to go to sleep. Although, this new Chuck Palahniuk book, this new Madison whatever, really, it's just this one. All the talk of cleverness, all his wit and cleverness from all the other books, this one is just phoning it in, man. I mean, I'm about 50 pages into it, and it doesn't feel like a Chuck Palahniuk book. Like, all his others have really strange crap happening, and this one is just disgusting. So, I don't know. Maybe it's the supernatural elements that bother me. I don't like the Stephen King books where it's all supernatural. I like the ones that are people challenging themselves, like The Long Walk. There's nothing mystical in that. That's probably his best. Or Shawshank Redemption was based on the Rita Hayworth thing. That was an amazing one, too. But this whole super, hey, and the toaster is a vampire. Well, fuck you. Cop out. Oh, you follow the gunslinger with his magical quartet. Shut up. So, anyway, yeah, I, whatever. How about Danny? Danny, how about you rant for a while? Let me rest.
Hello, hello. Danny Dwyer here with Weekly Challenge 415. Pick two. Oh, yeah. And if you want to see the list, go to oneadayuntilthedayidie.com and find the list, and you'll see all the different topics that we were able to choose from or pick two from. Well, I say pick a minimum of two. I picked more. So this is my story, so deal with it. Here we go. What's on my mind? I screamed at myself while I ate my donkey salad while hailing anything but a taxi. Fortunately, there was this carriage drawn by a donkey I had not eaten yet. In some kind of odd sock salad form, and in this instant, lasting over 5 hours, 45 minutes, and 35 seconds exactly, I was off to my fictitious job creating a paradox for morally conservative socks designed as fishnet stockings to please the conservative white Republican male perverts who love to wear them while pretending to be ventriloquists. Even the German porn sites who love the Scheisse Essen are blushing. And if you love that story or you're just quite offended by it, hey, stop by Danny Dwyer at WordPress. Oh, no, it's not at. It's DannyDwyer.wordpress.com. If you type an at, you're, God knows where the hell you're going to end up in the internet. You know, you got to be careful with those symbols. They just, you know, you could end up in Russia. And I don't know, that's not a place to be in the internet. There's a lot of hackers with bad viruses and shit. So enjoy, come visit my website, and on to you, crap.
Thank you, Danny. That was a great bumper over there back to me. We're in the studios here checking the weather radar. It's all clear. It's going to be a bright and sunny day. Despite that fact, Friday, I ordered two packages on Wednesday, Amazon Prime 2 days. I look at the tracking, both go to the first carrier facility, then the next carrier facility. One makes it into the office at 10 in the, or 11 in the morning. The other one gets a weather delay or natural disaster alert. Both were at the same carrier facility. It's a bright and beautiful day out, and yet one gets a weather alert and one doesn't. It was like a quantum tornado. What the fuck? Just whatever. I bitched about it on Twitter. I bitched about it on Audacity. UPS was like, hey, well, we can work this out. No, you can't. You lie. You lying sacks of lying liars. Whatever. So one of the good things about doing it this way, with the Audacity and then dropping into whatever that thing is, I'm limited to a minute 40 of these rambles because that's how long my typewriter loop is. Although I can make it longer, I won't. But I could. I could. Don't try me. So, anyway. Let's hand things off to Chelsea. We're getting close to the end here. The end of the podcast, not the end of the world. That comes next week. Chelsea, speaketh.
Hello, everyone. I'm sorry I didn't make it in last week. I suffered from some unforeseen technical difficulties. But I'm back this week with my story from last week and one for this week. I hope you enjoy them. Who do you miss? I miss him the moment he's out of my sight, the moment I can no longer smell his sweat or feel his arms around me. I know full well that it's irrational. It is just a combination of neurotransmitters in my brain, flooding the receptor sites of the neurons, a complex chemical reaction that I must stand aside and let happen. That does not change the fact that I can feel the press of his lips on mine and the shiver at the ghost of his touch on my skin. I miss him so much it hurts, and I like it. Teas. Hot bath full of bubbles perfumed with lavender bath salts. Shaving cream to make my legs silky smooth. Slide the fishnet stockings slowly up one leg and then the other. Black lace bra and panty set. Knee-length zippered skirt. 6-inch stiletto heels. button-down shirt with the top button undone. Hair in a bun, a few wispy curls hanging down. Lashes curled and lips lined. Earrings sparkling in the mirror. Glasses placed on the tip of my nose. One quick wink in the mirror, I'm such an awful tease. But really, why not?
You are such an awful tease, but we're glad that you're back. We missed you, like the topic last week. You were the topic. Who do you miss? Chelsea. And thank goodness you're back. I was worried that you weren't ever going to come back, but that's okay. That just means you're paying attention and time and detail to all your other writing endeavors. As I say most every week when I'm covering up the fact that I'm jealous of all you others, like get all these people contributing and listening. What I say every week, I hope to say it, I'm not sure. Do I? I could look back, but no. I would rather people spend time on crafting their art, whatever art it may be. And if it is a 100-word story or a bunch of them, that's good. And you can bring them here or elsewhere or write other stuff or paint or dance or cook or do laundry or sleep. Ooh, or skateboard. Okay, skateboarding's fun. Might get hurt, though, especially with painting and cooking on a skateboard. One more? Okay, we've got Planet Z, and then that's it, so I need to hand things over, flip up the satellite dish, and, oh, we've got signal. Okay, so here comes Planet Z.
The forklift robot was in the middle of the warehouse, spinning in circles. We tried to remotely shut it down, but the communications module was offline, and nobody was crazy enough to climb up on the thing to pull out the power core. "It'll stop when it runs out of power," I said. We can use the spare forklift in the meantime. While we placed bets on the spinner, the spare booted up. "Wait," I yelled, and jumped on the spare. Just like the other forklift, it began to spin. "Ugh, fucking viruses," I growled, and I pulled the power cord.
And there you have it, a whole bunch of stories on the Pick 2. The list is up on the site. If there were topics that weren't chosen, and you're still there sitting on the sidelines, or if you're Zach Mann, you're like, "I can't decide which ones to do," that's okay. That's all right. I know it's intimidating for some people and liberating for others. I try switching things around. A simple word here, a weird word there, a phrase there. Am I too wishy-washy? I'm not sure, but you can check out the text of the stories if you had a hard time understanding them at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. You can share this with various links on that site to Google Plus and the Facebooks and the Twitters and the, not the Plurks, I'm done with the Plurks, and Empire Avenue, ugh, goodbye, all that link whoring. I think we ought to focus on crafting our art rather than, you know, spreading the word. Get the gospel right, and then go out and preach and walk around and get martyred. So that's it. I'm really liking this whole 1 minute 40 typewriter loop keeping me reined in. So thank you all for listening. Thank you all for being a part of the weekly challenge. The next topic is hash. And as always, keep it brief.